Welcome to What is Going Om for New Thought from the Edge of Om. Each week on Om Time's flagship radio show, veteran broadcaster, author, and media consultant Sandy Sedgebeer conducts thought-provoking interviews with inspirational authors, artists, musicians, scientists, speakers, and filmmakers who are working at the point where spirituality and science meet consciousness at the very edge of Om. Here is your host, Sandy Sedgebeer.
Hello and welcome to What's Going Om in 2018. Tonight we're going to take a peek into the future and see what the planets can tell us about what this year might bring in terms of challenges and opportunities. My guest is Daily Mail Online and BBC TV and radio astrological consultant and coach Alison Chester Lambert, who I have to say did pre-warn us that 2017 was going to be a somewhat challenging and depressing year. But who would have thought that it would trump 2016 for unexpected shocks and surprises? Alison Chester Lambert, welcome. It's good to have you back on the show.
Hello, Sandy. It is wonderful to be here. Thank you so much. And hi, everybody who's listening.
Alison, from record-breaking hurricanes, deadly tropical storms and fires that decimated entire communities to shocking revelations of sexual abuse and harassment by famous people in positions of power in and out of Hollywood, to unprecedented and by any standards, persistently undignified behaviour by a president who's certainly old enough, if not intelligent enough to know better, I'd say you called it pretty accurately when you predicted that 2017 was going to be a challenging year on many fronts. So tell me, now that it's behind us, did it bring more or less than you anticipated?
You know, I think you've missed something out there, if it was possible to miss something out of that long list. But I think also we need to look at the effects on us personally. I think we all of us have a personal story to tell about 2017. I think 2017 has left a lot of us vulnerable and a lot of us sensitive, and maybe even a lot of us with stuff still hanging over going into 2018. Now, okay, there was things we could look at. We could look at whether you're a lover or a hater of Donald Trump. We can look at the things that may have supported your opinion or depressed you, and you can look at Brexit. But it was the personal story, I think, really, that sort of like shines out from 2017, if that resonates with the audience anyway.
Well, you're absolutely right. I don't know anybody who didn't have a difficult year either. However, you've also said that despite all of that, we made significant progress. We're heading upwards, growing and gaining in wisdom. What makes you say that?
There is an astrological marker year coming up, one of those big ones. I think this actually has more power than the 2012 mythology, but, you know, there's always going to be another kind of millennium coup, isn't there? As we get towards 2020, I think what we're looking at is a significant change. And I'm just going to explain the astrology a little just to explain that. We've had many, many years of a very strong masculine influence. Uranus, or the planet Uranus in astrology, has been riding very high, been very powerful. We can see all this in this high-speed technological growth, just one of the examples of strong masculine energy. But there is a real shift in 2020, a genuine shift in the planets, when Uranus loses his power more or less completely. He becomes a lone player. And the other planet, Pluto, another strong outer planet, Pluto, takes over and takes the reins, really, of the chariot at that point and becomes much stronger. Now, Pluto is a feminine energy, Shiva, if you like, in Indian mythology. And that, to me, says that we are heading into one of these huge tectonic plate shifts in terms of the atmosphere, the environment, but also masculine, feminine, yin yang. And so I see these years as preparation for that big shift. And I think a lot of us can sense it coming anyway. Things that like this coming up are always going to make us uneasy. But that's where I think we're in general heading towards.
So Would you say then that given all of the, you know, the gender stuff that's been in the news, the sexual harassment, the masculine energy, putting down the feminine energy that we've heard so much about, is that all part of the plan, so to speak, or part of the breakdown, the upheaval, the emergence that's going to change that situation?
Do you know, I think it is, because in general, women, gender females, are going to represent the spiritual feminine or yin energy in general. I mean, there are men who express their feminine side very well, etc. But let's just take generalizing and say that women do a good job of expressing yin or feminine energy. I think what they had to do first of all, as a gender, they had to find their voice. And so I think women had to develop a way of feeling so strong and so sure of themselves and so clear about their definition that they were then able to stand up and say, as many of them did, mouthpieces, heroines stood up and said, hey, I have a story to tell here. I felt I was abused. I was abused. And to be able to do that, to feel that the environment is an accepting one, that you'll be listened to, is a big step. So, yes, I do think it's a big step, because I think women have to find themselves and their role and define themselves before they can step into being mouthpieces or representatives of a new a masculine feminine balance, a rebalancing, if you like, or even a rising up of feminine energy.
Well, of course, you know, gender is only one expression of masculine feminine energy. In what other ways can you point to this, you know, balancing that's going to be taking place in other areas rather than purely men and women?
Right. Well, what we have to look at really is, let's just take the time since 2007. Let's take the last 10 years, if you like. For a lot of that time, what we've had is unprecedented, massive technological growth. Let's just take that, you know, just the rise of devices, the rise of data information systems, the speed at which they travel. And let's look at how that has fueled, for instance, the Arab Spring. What it's done is it's given collectives and cultures an informational system which has made them feel uncomfortable or ill at ease or wanting more from their leaders. And so they have risen up and they have overthrown or they have got into wars demanding change. So the fast pace of the technological growth has led a lot of the world's culture into fast-paced change. Now, moving outwards and growing this quickly is a very masculine style of energy. So just to put things very simply, so masculine energy moves out, like electromagnetic energy moves out, so radiation moves out. Feminine energy pulls in, like gravity. So these are the two different kind of forces in the cosmos, if you like, when we're just looking at polarity, the pulling in of gravity, the pushing out of the masculine, the emitter, the receiver. And if you look over the last few years, what you will see is not much pulling in, but a heck of a lot of pushing out in terms of growth. So that's why I think that we're in the place that we're in with this very high paced, way too fast masculine energy, and the planet Earth has not had time to catch up. This is why we're getting the issues to do with the plastic in the oceans, the issues to do with using up natural resources, because we're not doing it at a pace that planet Earth can keep up with us.
So what's going to happen?
Well, as I say, I think we're heading towards 2020 when there will be this rebalancing, when masculine energy will die down or die back or not be so powerful, and feminine energy will be able to go about its own particular action, pick up on its own importance, develop its own slower ways, much more careful ways, much more introspective ways. I don't see this happening in a year, by the way. I see 2020 as being pivotal, but because the change has to be so great, because the tip at the balance, the scales and the balance has to go from quite a way down from 1,000 or 2,000 years ago to quite a way up, I think I can look at 2020 astrologically and say it's pivotal, but I think we're looking at a decade or two decades where we see, where we can look back and go, hey, we went from there to there. Didn't we go a long way in 10 years or 20 years? I mean, great if it all happens in a year, but I think that would be, again, too fast, because then we'd be talking about masculine energy, not feminine energy. Feminine energy moves more slowly.
So if, would you describe 2017 as a year of breakdown before breakthrough?
Yeah, I think you could certainly look at it like that. I like to look at it as life being a wheel, and we were on the down bit of the wheel, and in some cases going along the bottom. I prefer to see it like that, actually. But I hear what you're saying. Yeah.
So tell us, give us a bit of an overview for 2018. And I know you've got a lot to say about it. We can go into it in a little bit more depth afterwards.
It's a complex year. I think that's the first thing to say. It's a subtle year and a complex year. Let's just look at 2017 and how easy that was to describe. So in 2017, I was saying, okay, we've got the Uranus Pluto square and we've got the Saturn Chiron square, a deeply psychological sort of low self-esteem planetary configuration versus a high voltage, very powerful, very fast moving planetary configuration. We looked at two. We're looking at nine now. And the nine, each of these nine planetary configurations is more subtle, more difficult to describe. There are more possible permutations. So that in itself says the year coming up is going to be more interesting to navigate, much more subtle and complex to navigate. There are going to be small shifts in energy, which have great opportunity, but the chances are that if we're highly absorbed with one particular detail, we'll miss out on the potential growth that has just swum by us. It's a year when we're going to have to stay on our toes, when we're going to have to be aware. I think it's also a year that doesn't start when January the 1st chimes rang out and we all celebrated with fireworks. 2017 is definitely creeping into 2018. There are many of us with a hangover, in inverted commas, of issues that have not yet resolved themselves in 2017. So 2018 is going to have to contain resolution, healing in many cases. We're going to have to bring things through to their completion in some cases, before we can pick up on opportunities that do exist. But if our plate is already full and we have all these issues, and then other energies are coming in, winds of change, different weather, if you like, it's going to get pretty confusing as we try to get a hold of all of these strands.
Okay, so it sounds like it's all of this subtle energy and subtle impact with nine different, is it planets or nine different aspects?
Right, okay, so what we've got is roughly nine different planetary configurations or aspects, as we call them in astrology. But we've also got the movement of two major planets into new zodiac signs. So we'll have to consider those as well. So for instance, the planet Saturn moved into Capricorn on the 21st of December, just recently, so 2017. Now, that's going to have an impact as we move into 2018. Uranus moves into Taurus in May of 2018, and that's going to have a big impact as well. When these big planets move into different zodiac signs, they're moving into different sectors of the sky, but it's as if they're putting new clothing on. So the planet is still talking its keywords, it's still having the same action, but this time it's having to do it in different clothing. So let's say the planet wants to be underwater, and it was fine in a scuba diving suit, but now somebody's given it something to wear for a ballet class. The planet can't really express itself very well underwater with all the chiffon and the silk and the tutus and the ballet shoes. So we consider these things because what they're sort of implying is that a planet is going to be more powerful or less powerful, have greater influence or less influence, and that there will be a shift, there will be a sea change. So we've got two of those, along with planets interacting with other planets as if they're on a stage. So try to imagine this as it's the performance. This year is a new play, and the actors are all waiting in the wings. These planets are waiting there in the wings, and they're going to come on the stage, and they're going to connect with each other. They're going to have a conversation together. They're going to get into bed together, if you like. And that interaction, that aspect, or that planetary configuration, that tells a story too, if that makes sense.
I think so. I'm sure it'll make more as we go along. You're listening to What Is Going On. I'm Sandy Sedgbeer. My guest is BBC and Daily Mail online astrological consultant Alison Chester-Lambert. And we're discussing what the planets can tell us about the challenges and opportunities that await us in 2018. We'll be back with more from Alison Chester-Lambert after this break.
The future of internet radio is here. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Change and growth are part of natural life and also part of your spiritual life. Everyone needs support and guidance, especially during life passages. Upgrade yourself with the OM Times Experts program. With OM Times Experts, you have access to the best intuitive coaches, spiritual teachers, counselors, astrologists, and oracles. Our team was carefully selected so you can trust. Find out more at experts.omtimes.com.
More than 24 million Americans have an autoimmune disorder, and that number continues to grow. I'm Sharon Saylor, and I'm one of those 24 million. To put that number in perspective, cancer affects about 9 million and heart disease up to 22 million. That's why I've brought together top experts and those thriving regardless of their diagnosis to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information. Join me, Sharon Saylor, Friday night, 7 p.m. Eastern, for the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio to find out how to live your life uninterrupted.
My name is Meera Batra, and this is How I Live United. Many families have come to America for a better life. I advocate for these families with United Way. United Way empowers them to see opportunities available. We help them get involved with their kids, schools, and network within the community. My name is Meera Batra. I help families see opportunity and succeed. I don't just wear the shirt. I live it.
Give, advocate, volunteer, live united. Go to liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Welcome back. Alison Chester-Lambert, with nine planetary configurations, are they going to spread themselves out to be affecting all aspects of life, or are they focusing on two or three different aspects?
Throughout, I think. I mean, we're living in a three-dimensional universe. Sorry, like a three-dimensional cobweb is what I should say. We have to, it's an invisible cobweb and everything is connected up, right? So that cobweb goes throughout the whole solar system. And so the planets and their movements jangle this cobweb, if you like. So you put your kettle on in your kitchen and there is a reverberation out on the surface of Pluto. Now, obviously that's ridiculous. It's too infinitesimal. But actually the 3D cobweb that we live in, it has the capacity with the rays and the electromagnetic energy that passes through it, the gravitational corridors, it is all sort of joined up. So there isn't any way that anybody can escape this as long as they're living in the solar system, and it affects all areas of life.
So could you kind of give us an overview as you move through the year?
Yeah, it's like, if that's possible, I'm going to try. So let's just say that we start out with a degree of vulnerability. I mean, I hope that the people listening to this have not been through some of the issues that clients have brought to me in the past year, but there have been some pretty depressing and issues which have brought great melancholy and great vulnerability. Mm-hmm. Okay, if you're sitting there now and you're feeling like this, if you're feeling shattered from 2017, then the first thing I want to say is overall, there is hope. Overall, by the end of this year, we will have gained. That there are some nice fluffy clouds on the horizon. There are some rays of sunshine to come in this year, so I want to make that clear. Now, it's, what I could do is actually just mention these astrological aspects and give them a name, and sort of just look at each one briefly and say what it kind of is bringing in. Shall I do it that way?
Sure, if that works for you.
Okay. Well, it's hard. Do you know what, Sandy? It's otherwise very hard to describe because each one is bringing in its own little subtle thing. And I, when I try to put it all together, I finish up saying, this is the year when it's very complex and you, it doesn't have the easy the descriptions that the last one had. But anyway, so we've got something called the Jupiter-Pluto sextile, which is already in play and it's very powerful this year. We haven't had the first hit yet. That comes at the end of January. And what this brings is, I believe, something very positive. It suggests it's going to be about growth. It's about expansion. But this will hopefully come through feminine channels. It will come through intuitive, hidden or emotional channels. And we need more feminine energy to cope with and compensate for the aggressive masculine technological growth that I was talking about. We need to consider our human responses to the environment we are creating. So what we need is that we need the planets to show that the cosmos is giving us support with finding our responses and listening to them, listening to ourselves more. So this sextile suggests that there is the potential for growth, that it's beneficial, and change is possible. Now, if we want change to happen, and we do, because if we're going down the bottom of the wheel or along the bottom of the wheel, then we want change to happen so we can come up the side of the wheel. We want change to happen so we're in a better place. This sextile suggests change is coming. We could be in a better place. And it has something to offer us in terms of transformation and growth. This is a helpful thing. Then another one that is really good, I believe, is something called the Jupiter-Neptune trine. So the planet Jupiter, very beneficial, very expansive, broadening horizons, giving us confidence, gets in touch with Neptune, which is all about fantasies, the spiritual planes, spiritual longings, compassion. And the two of these getting together in a really nice dance on the stage in front of us suggests that our spiritual longings and our growth are combined, that we can grow towards our spiritual longings. And it also says that we will feel much compassion and concern for the weak or the disadvantaged or the frail. So we'll become very sensitive to their needs. So that's a good one, I think.
Oh, that's very good. Much needed.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. This one is probably full of fantasy, but you know what, Sandy? I believe that fantasy is reality's genesis, that when we can take something and we can believe in it, despite the year that some of us may have had, if we can still stand there and say, you know what, I believe this is going to be a great year. I can feel the compassion. I can feel the sensitivity. Then that is a triumph. It's a huge success for the human condition of hope and belief in the future. So it's great. So great to see that one. We've got the Uranus-Neptune semi-square. Now, this is quite a significant one that has been in place already in a year. It's been in place since 2017, that's right, and it goes right the way through to 2020, to that critical year of 2020. And I believe this is the one that talks about the continuing male-female gender imbalance and its correction. Women need to redefine their roles after centuries of degradation. These two are kind of interesting. There's a lot going on in Scorpio around this. And I think Scorpio is the zodiac sign where the masculine meets the feminine. Here we get the emotional exchange. And so I think this is the Scorpio element of the sky in the year ahead is interesting. Jupiter is in Scorpio for the whole time, and this Uranus-Neptune semi-square, whilst it's not in Scorpio itself, it has sort of scorpionic tones to it because it connects to other things. Saturn has moved into Capricorn. That I believe is going to test out financial structures and institutions. It will test what we've personally accrued, what we've built, what we've saved. There's a strong focus on materialism here, and we'll probably be given opportunities to search for the right material achievement in our lives, a balanced one. It will test our resolve and our stamina, and I should think it will test the financial markets and the banks as well, as usual with Capricorn.
Well, you know, we've been hearing for years that, you know, they're all on the point of collapse. And more recently, we've been hearing that cryptocurrencies is the way forward. Do you see that actually happening?
Oh, that's interesting. The movement of Uranus into Taurus, which happens in May, is very much going to bring this to the front of the stage. Absolutely. Taurus is a zodiac sign which could be taken to represent money. It's an earth sign, so it's certainly about our possessions, what we own, material things, and money is, of course, the currency of all of this. Uranus going in there, Uranus represents technological breakthrough, innovation, and certainly futuristic concepts. So Bitcoin and other currencies of the internet are very much where this is. There is going to be a discussion around this. Uranus in Taurus will bring this discussion to the front of the stage. Now, Saturn in Capricorn will test these things. Saturn is a testing machine. That's what it's there for, rigorous testing. Now, at the moment, although Saturn has moved into Capricorn, we're not seeing big collapses on the financial market, but what we are seeing is huge jumps in stock market measurements and how much the stock market is worth. Now, is this the huge rise before the fall? I don't know. Looking at the astrology, I would say it could be. But Saturn will test it. That's the main point. It will test it. Now, if everything as it should be, if all the structures are right for the future, if they're good for the future, if they're fit for the future, we have no problems. They will be fine. Saturn will test them and it will go, no, that's fine. All this stuff is great. But what if it isn't? And this is the bit that I can't really predict. If the banks haven't got their act together after the crash of 2008, if various monetary institutions, etc., and hasn't got its act together, then it will be caught out by this testing of Saturn. Now, at the moment, we've got the Sun and Venus in Capricorn. These are very positive planets. The Sun in particular is a positive planet. It could be buffering. It could be shielding. It could be covering over the cracks with positive thinking. The Sun is always positive. No matter what happens, it's a positive planet. It could be that the Sun in Capricorn is lifting the markets, giving everybody this false hope. And it could be that when the Sun moves out of Capricorn in a couple of weeks, that then Saturn's action in Capricorn alone will start to show. I would find it difficult to believe that Saturn won't find some cracks in the cement of the bank's recent plastering, etc. So the growth of AI is interesting as well. Artificial intelligence. Uranus represents artificial intelligence. This is an air element planet, and it's moving to Taurus, which can represent the body. We could be looking at, I read a report on it, the injection of artificial intelligence, nano something or others, into bodies to fix the body. Well, that's Uranus in Taurus.
Well, they're already talking about, injecting people with chips that actually relay back to the doctor whether they've taken their medicine when they should.
That's the sort of thing, yeah. I find it quite horrific. I personally find that horrible.
Well, it certainly is something that I think many people think it's one of those things that's way, way out there, that it's not as close as it actually is. I think it's a very insidious and probably dangerous thing that's happening, and most people dismiss it because it sounds too futuristic.
There's a lot of people show your concern, a lot of people, and you find a quick internet troll will show various highly estimable professors and leaders in their field all shuddering with horror at what's happening with AI. The research into it and the development of it is going too fast for it to be reined in. the legislation and the legal procedures have not caught up with the advancements in AI. So we're getting people like Stephen Hawking, for goodness sake, warning everybody in a letter to the Times or whatever he did, saying, look out, folks, this is the most dangerous thing I've ever encountered in my life. Now, that's Stephen Hawking, you know what I mean? And he's joined by some very eminent professors and leaders in the field, all of whom are absolutely terrified. I mean, what people probably don't realize is that artificial intelligence is being built into weapon systems. What it's actually programmed to do is learn and grow all by itself outside of human control. So an AI phenomena could easily learn and grow enough to hack into weapon systems and set them off, for instance. AI can be found in the stock markets. So the stock markets will act outside of human control because they have learned how to do so. So you'll get your flash crashing, you know what I mean.
So go on. If there are so many people, you know, trying to raise the alarm, is anybody listening?
Well, we're listening, aren't we? And it's down to the spiritual community again. And I don't underestimate the power of what we do as a spiritual community.
Well, that's an interesting point, you know, because I remember a few years ago listening to Patricia Cota Robles talking. Somebody was saying how concerned they were about what Monsanto was doing, how angry they were getting, and everybody needed to mobilize and march. And she said, no, you don't have to. If you get together as a collective and use collective intention, right. You know, what Monsanto's doing, it would just fail.
Right.
Do you think that's possible? I mean, is there anything in astrology that tells us we have that power?
Absolutely. Or it could happen? Absolutely. Astrology has the symbolism to describe absolutely anything that the human race or life itself is capable of. And this is why it's so difficult to read. The symbols can mean this, but they could also mean that. However, let's go back to 2012. This enormous shift that I'm looking at, this is where the feminine catches up with the masculine, right? So is this where the feminine rises up and in some way overcomes some of this masculine growth, which is just breakneck speeding into all kinds of, you know, oops moments? It's going to be too late to find out that we've built an artificial intelligence which actually exists in the infrastructure and could decide to cut off the supply system. So let's just say you cut off the fuel, right? Let's just cut off all fuel dumps and fuel farms and the fuel supply. Well, you've just closed absolutely everything in the country, haven't you, without those lorries getting the supplies to the supermarkets, etc. I think we could be, astrology seems to be implying that there will come an end to this huge masculine dominance, both of the last 2,000 years, the last 1,000 years, and also the recent spurt in growth. I have got to believe that that's the case. And I'm hoping I'm not under the illusion of the Jupiter trine Neptune when I say this. But no, I look at how Pluto grows, the rise of the feminine planets, then the depletion of the masculine planets, and I have to believe that we can do something.
You're listening to What Is Going On. I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, and I'm speaking with professional astrologer and founder of the Midland School of Astrology in the UK, Alison Chester Lambert. We're talking about what the planets are doing in 2018 and how that might affect us globally, collectively, and of course, personally. We'll be back in a few moments.
The cutting edge of conscious radio, Om Times Radio, IOM FM. Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. Om Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single Om Times endeavor. Host your show with Om Times Radio Network.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
I'm Fidel Nshombo. I was born in a city called Bukavu in the Congo. We were a loving family, and then, boom, everything that I had disappeared in a single day. People think that when you are a refugee and they resettle to America, and all your problems are done. They don't understand that that's the beginning of everything. I was not born a refugee. I was made one.
It's time we welcome refugee families with open arms. Learn more at EmbraceRefugees.org, brought to you by the Ad Council.
Welcome back. Alison Chester-Lambert, it sounds to me as though what you've been describing is that as we approach 2020, that is going to be a major turning point. Not everything will change instantly, but we will look back upon that and say that's when it all began to move. Perhaps the beginning of a whole new era in the history of humankind. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think we're seeing the shoots of it now with the recent news that women are feeling more capable and more confident to name and shame. I think we're seeing this. Now, we could look around the globe and we could say, well, look at the plight of women in Pakistan. Look at the plight of women in other countries in Asia. How could you say that, you know, they have equality? Well, they don't. But there is always those countries who lead the way in their own time. They lead the way. They may not always lead the way in all times, but they lead the way in some times. And at the moment, the Western countries of the USA, UK, etc., are leading the way, if you like. And so for those women to stand up and have that voice. So as far as I'm concerned, yes, you know, we can see the small shoots. And we just have to nurture this. We have to support it. And I think we have to know the importance of it. I think it would be a shame if the naming and shaming became so prolific that we almost became complacent, that we all went, oh, not another woman saying that another man has done such and such, another abusive situation. I think what we have to do is keep our awareness of it, but also keep our appreciation of the times and the atmosphere in which we feel comfortable and safe to do this. Would it be helpful if I just explain what Pluto's energy is all about? Because I think we could embrace this Pluto energy and learn something from it.
Sure, go ahead.
Yeah, because it's Jupiter sextile Pluto that's happening this year, which I think is boosting Pluto power. And it's Pluto that becomes much stronger after 2020. So in astrology, Pluto symbolizes a forceful transformation which breaks down the old and evolves it into the new. But it does it slowly in the way of the planet. But if you ever want change in your life, you need a Pluto transit. It works at fundamental unseen levels, and it causes the very fabric of things to come apart if they're not going to be part of the way the planet needs to go in the future. If life itself looks at it and thinks this is no use in the future, then something will come apart, it will die. But behind the leaf that falls in autumn is the bud for next year's growth, and that is what Pluto does. It ensures the rebirth as well as the death. So it kills the grub, if you like, but it cracks open the casing that releases the butterfly. So Pluto represents this underlying force behind life, genes, genetic code, the depths of anything. Evolution's unsympathetic yet creative power. So Pluto is this ever-present ruling principle in the universal life force, which fulfills the cycle of evolution and constant renewal without restraint. Now, if just think about that, you know, the power of that, that's what we're looking at. So I have, when I think of Pluto, I just think, wow, I'm getting behind you. But then I'm also thinking, whoa, be careful what I think.
So 2020 from this vantage point feels like a long way off. So let's have a come back to 2018. I mean, it's nice to know that it's out there and that things, you know, stand a chance of getting a lot better. That's what we're working toward. There is some gain after all of the pain.
But
as far as 2018 is concerned, we still have a number of things going on. I mean, one of the things that's going to happen this year, November the 6th, is the midterms, the midterm elections. Many, many people are very concerned about that. And we're hearing a lot about it in the press. It's by no means certain that the Republicans can hold on to their majority. Do you see anything around that time?
Yeah, I looked at the chart for that earlier, actually. And what I see is a chart which is quite muted. Around that time, we have a new moon in Scorpio. There's Scorpio again. So that means the moon and the sun are both in Scorpio. Now, let's just examine what Scorpio is all about for a moment, because it's quite a feature of this year with Jupiter there all year. So Scorpio has, you know, the reputation for being dark and mysterious, and this is rightful. Scorpio is about a deep emotional turmoil. It is about undercurrents. Personally, you can get jealousy, passion, invasion, intensity all coming up. You can get this in the collective too. Sexual issues can come up, but Scorpio isn't always just about sexual issues. It's about great healing potential too. It's about pushing things into transformation and growth. It's about evolving. But it's a very silent, very secret, very dark, mysterious energy. And it's not at all showy or flashy. So when you get a new moon in Scorpio, you get this very muted, calm, hidden, secretive atmosphere. Nothing is, it's like we're all in water and there are no ripples on the water. The water is calm. And so I don't get a huge flurry of stuff in the newspapers, dramatic headlines saying, you know, Rome has fallen or what have you. I can see how there could be lots of hope in many people's eyes in terms of that.
Yes.
But when I actually, and I'm English, right, same as you, so I had to look up all the political stuff on this. And my understanding of the politics is that they can't physically be that much change as people want anyway, because of boundary changes, as we call them in the UK. So maybe the chart with its very muted sort of damp, there's a lot of emotion, but I don't see the action.
Well, yeah, we've had a lot of emotion in the last year. I have to take you to task over something. I'll apologize in advance.
Go on, you always do, that's fine.
You know, back into early 2016, you predicted that, you know, Trump would win. You also said, hold on a minute, that's not such a bad thing, because his son at the same time moves from Leo into Virgo, and he's going to become humble, and he's going to
I wish I'd never said that.
What I want to know is, why were you so wrong?
Thank you. Just say as it is, Sandy. It's all right. You know how to hurt a girl. No, you're quite right. You're quite right to point it out, because you're such a sharp presenter. So you're going to. So I'm put on the spotlight here. Okay. So it was Trump's progress son, and it moved from Leo into Virgo. Now, with anybody else, this would have meant that you are invited by the cosmos to develop a sense of duty and humbleness, diligence and service. And that's if you like, the light side of Virgo. We're invited at that point. We only get three changes of our progress sun in our lifetime, because it takes 30 years to move through a sign. And so you get another 30 years in the next sign, and another 30 years. That's it, you're 90. You don't care after that anyway. But I think Trump is missing an opportunity here. I think he's missing an opportunity to develop the attributes of Virgo with in terms of duty and humbleness and diligence and service. What he appears to be doing is picking up on the Virgo shadow side. All zodiac signs have their light side and their shadow side. And he's picking up on the overly critical, scapegoating, paranoic side of Virgo. He's picking up on Virgo's potential for great distractibility. And for me, this is a shame because he misses the opportunity for his Leo ascendant to learn something of humility. I have a feeling, because his sun is in Gemini, I have a feeling he's heading tighter and tighter and tighter into some kind of, I'm paranoia, if you like. He's getting into something quite, I don't know how to describe it. It's just getting tighter. It's tightening and tightening. And his sun in Gemini isn't that strong, if you see what I mean. So it's all becoming about ego. Well, what we're seeing is an ego, the front, what people see. But I think that inside of him, I shouldn't say this because you're going to quote this to me in 2 years' time.
You can bet on it.
I think what we're seeing is a man who is actually petrified inside. I'm a Gemini, you're a Gemini. You know the kind of year that I had last year and you had last year, right? The man's on the world stage, and look, you know, I cannot believe he escaped the Gemini sort of like experience of 2017. So I do believe that he is having a tawdry time. I think it is difficult. But what's happening, his ascendant is taking over and it's doing all the bluster and the, you know, the stage and everything else. And he's missing the Virgo opportunity. I wish that I'd been right about that, and that he had, you know, humbled down and got on his knees and done the diligent service bit. But you're right, he isn't, is he?
He isn't. However, I will be magnanimous, and we could also look at him as providing us with the most wonderful opportunities to develop compassion in ourselves.
Absolutely.
He is reflecting back at us what can happen if opportunities are there, you know, to develop oneself, one's growth, and one doesn't take it.
Sandy, in order for women to find their place, to find their definition, to find their voice, they had to have the opposite in front of them. If the women of America and the Western world had not had Trump, with all that he represents in terms of the male ego, then those women would not have had the opportunity to look at it and think, I've got to do something about this. Just a minute. I have to get up and put in a plea for the you know, the feminine side of this. He's there for a reason. He is a mouthpiece. He's there for a reason. I know those people love him, and I have to respect those people and their opinion. But I have to draw back and look at the bigger picture too. His role is playing a service in as much as you take something into the light, you'll find the dark. You take something into the dark, you'll find the light. He
exactly.
is producing one side of the scales, and the women are rising up to produce the other side. They're piling in with their weight in the opposite corner. And yes, we do have to thank him for that, because would we have done it without that?
Probably not. I mean, we need to be shown what we don't want before we will stand up for what we do.
Exactly. And nothing can be healed that isn't first felt. So maybe what we had to do was see the cracks in America's shadow side. Maybe Trump had to be the symbol of the potential in some of America's shadow cracks. In order for women and the spiritual people to rise up and go, hey, hang on, let's. What about this? What about this? What about this? It probably is a good thing, and I wholeheartedly agree with you.
And I do think that, you know, what's happening in America is very much a kind of expression of what is happening, a reflection, if you like, what is happening all over the world, because all systems are crumbling. There are many, many people at the top of governments in many countries who, you know, behave just as outrageously as Trump has been. You know, he's not alone in that. So I think
there is one on the Pacific Rim that comes to mind.
Very much so. But let's we don't have a lot of time left. Let's be done with President Trump and let's talk about a little bit, just for a few seconds, about Brexit. Is it going to resolve itself?
We're in the same sort of doldrums with stuff over here in the UK. We're contemplating our naval. Have we done the right thing? Can we get what we wanted to get out of it? There is a hangover, too, to do with Brexit. But I believe that hangover will resolve itself and get into brighter territory in the middle of 2018, in the same way that I think that America will also feel some lighter relief. There are better times coming. When I look at these charts, there are better times coming. There is growth on the horizon of a type that feels lighter, that doesn't feel so heavy with tenants.
Well, I'm glad to hear that, because when we finished the show last year, you know, both of us were pretty darn depressed and not looking forward to 2017. So it's good to hear you saying that by the time we reach the end of this year, things will be looking a bit better.
Absolutely. I mean, right at the end of the year, we get something that I haven't mentioned because it doesn't come till then. It's that Jupiter trine Chiron. If ever there was a symbol for healing and growth, it's Jupiter trine Chiron. I mean, this is just a wonderful, it's a process of awakening into healing as a result of the experience of pain. We cannot break into really good quality healing and wisdom without the experience of pain. We've had to have this pain. With pain comes gain, they're proportional. Wisdom is coming with all of our steps right now.
Good. We are almost out of time, Alison. I just want to say one thing. You've got a new deck of oracle cards coming out in March, and they're Greek mythology reading cards, which is not something that, you know, one I would immediately associate with an oracle. Why did you choose Greek mythology?
I was guided to do so overnight, and apparently it's because when we move into 2020, we'll need a new pantheon. A single deity won't be enough. We need the variety that we have with the Greek pantheon, six strong women, six strong men. And we need to pick up on that and get balance in our theology and spiritual lives too.
Alison Chester-Lambert, thank you for joining me today. It's always a pleasure to talk with you.
Loved it.
Okay, thanks, Alison.
Bye.
You can find out more about Alison's work at alisonchesterlambert.com. Sign up for her newsletter and treat yourself to a private session. I promise you it's worth it. I'm Sandy Sedgbeer. Thanks for joining me today. And I look forward to having your company at the same time next week. Till then, it's goodbye from me.